On September 29th this year, there was an event downtown held called the Homeless CEO Sleepout Event or something to that effect. And we have a couple of guests here to talk about what they think of that event specifically, and some of their objections to the tactics used, I guess, to promote that event. Specifically, I guess, a bunch of prominent business people in the city trying to see what it's like to be homeless by sleeping out in a nice, well-lit area downtown, protected by security. So we have Rob and Jackie here, some active citizens in our community. And first, so Rob, could you, I guess, explain the details of this event and why you took some actions to raise awareness or take issue with it?
Sure. Your portrayal is fairly accurate. The main objective was to raise funds to give money to this. What was the name of the organization?
Change for the better.
But what was the subsidiary, sort of the beneficiary?
Most.
Yeah, Most. And get a little closer to the mic there, Jack. Most is an organization run out of Siloam Mission that puts homeless people to work for minimum wage, cleaning up garbage and chipping ice. And basically, that's what this money, the $100,000 thereabouts that they raised, is going towards.
Okay, so it's to pay salaries for these minimum wage jobs.
Right, and it's instead of doing a fun run, they slept in sleeping bags that, were newly bought and very expensive, and tents, and had their Blackberries and iPads and, ordered out for food and got free pizza and coffee and that's how they, that arduous, miserable task is what they had to do in order to show people that they were serious about homelessness.
I mean,
And
it went down to like 6 degrees that night.
oh my God, yeah. And well, and they only had like one parka each and one expensive sleeping bag each
and inflatable air
and
mattresses.
inflatable air mattresses.
So I'm guessing you thought this was kind of maybe a little insulting to say that they were being homeless for a night is sort of the way it was advertised.
Yeah, I think the idea was that they're supposed to be, I suppose, having empathy for some sort of empathy exercise. These are very popular these days to like sort of spend a year doing such and such a thing or spend a week, in the shoes of so and so disadvantaged group or whatnot. So I guess that was kind of the purpose of this exercise to really like walk a mile in the shoes of a street involved person. So obviously, it is a little insulting to think that, being on public or sorry, private property for one thing, is obviously, to me anyway, is the most problematic part about what they're doing because being on private property is obviously not an option for someone who is actually homeless. Stay on private property or even public property sometimes too long and, you'll have a biz ambassador in your face throwing you in the drunk tank.
Or potentially being charged with trespassing.
Yeah,
So
or the
if
police.
homeless people tried to do precisely what the CEOs did that night, they would be arrested, potentially. Or at the very least, kicked out.
What if they said they were raising money for CEOs?
Might be a way to get out of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, that is essentially what they're doing. That's what homeless people are doing when they go into these make work programs where they're being trained for these minimum wage entry level jobs. That's the irony of this whole thing is that, these rich folks are saying, "Oh yeah, we want to end homelessness." And it's like, how are you ending homelessness by putting street involved people into minimum wage work, work where they will absolutely never scrape together enough money for a damage deposit on an apartment, where they can't get help for any addictions that they might have? You're basically it's another hoop for them to jump through now. Instead of waiting in line at the soup kitchen for enough to eat to live, now they have to go and clean the streets for 8 hours. They're never going to rise above homelessness, making minimum wage, scraping up garbage, and if they do eventually get into a minimum wage job, then so what? They become the working poor instead of the homeless poor, and who benefits? CEOs,
Yeah,
obviously.
and these CEOs who are working for companies like RBC, or who are presidents of the University of Manitoba, these people in the top income brackets fight and lobby to lower their income taxes and other taxes, so that they pay as little as possible to the public good, to programs that could actually potentially help homeless people. Now, if we raised corporate income taxes, or you know, had some sort of Robin Hood transactional tax on these, you know, financial gaming crap that they do, we could actually solve homelessness in this country. Not very difficult. It'd only take, you know, a few billion a year, which is chump change compared to what we spend on war or what we spend on, you know, security and arresting over 1,000 people in Toronto, for example.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that it's not a hypothetical thing to say that homeless people would get kicked out. We actually witnessed, in fact, on the afternoon of the event, a street-involved person who was asking for spare change in the vicinity, not actually on the property, but in the vicinity of where the CEOs were to sleep out later that day. And he was actually asked to leave by a biz worker and kicked out of the area. And this person actually did not even inform them that they were giving away free food. She neglected to inform him. Most of the people who were collecting the free food were wearing, you know, pant suits, and there weren't actually any homeless people around at the time. So what kind of weird optic is that? Like, we're doing a benefit for homeless people, we're trying to assist homeless people, and the biz, who are the main sponsors and the organization behind the whole event, are actually going around policing the area and, you know, victimizing and abusing homeless people by telling them you can't be here, and if you stay here, we're going to have to do something about it.
So it seems like it was sort of just like an indoor convention put outside.
It was a sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
They were giggling and sending each other, you know, Facebook messages with their Blackberries, and, you know,
they were on Twitter.
Well-fed, well-warmed, well-protected by the police and the biz patrolling the area. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so back to the issue of, like, what could be done. What else do you think, like, would help, you know, homeless people in this city? Because clearly it's an issue that needs to be addressed in maybe, you know, less insulting ways. Or you know, I mean, if you can raise $100,000 in an event like that, what could that be put towards that would really benefit the people? And maybe, I mean, I'm guessing things like affordable housing would need to be looked into, you know, and other things like that, right?
Yeah, well, the thing that I like, I don't know who came up with this, but it's not homelessness, it's houselessness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this cozy little place that they can call home and put their throw pillows up on the couch or whatever. This is just a house, a place to stay where they can sleep in safety, where they can lock their door, where they can, you know, store their food, you know, and not have it get stolen or, you know, confiscated from them. That's all that they need. And to house someone, I'm not even talking about affordable housing. How about just free housing guaranteed to every single Canadian citizen? That would be far cheaper than the amount we spend on hospital services for these people who, when they're homeless, they get beaten up by other homeless people, the police, the biz, substance abuse issues, they can't get clean needles, etc. So those hospital charges, the charges it takes to put them in jail when they're arrested, which is, you know, extremely common. The most likely person to get arrested and thrown in jail is a poor person who is of First Nations descent. And so all that money that we waste on jails and hospitals right now, if that was put into housing, we would have far less people needing to visit the emergency room and far less people in jail, frankly, because being homeless creates crime because we are allowed to drink in our own homes, in our own houses. When you don't have a house, the only place to drink is on the street. And then you're intoxicated in public, and that's a crime. Mm-hmm. And so you can be moved or thrown in a van or thrown into a drunk tank and have your property taken away, which is obviously an escalating situation. I actually witnessed last summer a biz worker who was actually not even the category of biz worker that's allowed to enforce this bylaw, the Intoxicated Persons Act, confiscate beer away from someone who is just walking down the street, not causing a fuss at all, and basically slam them headfirst into the sidewalk to the point where they're gushing blood all over their face, and then thrown in the back of a van. So this happens on our streets. And because the biz are a private corporation, that is not accountable to the public, that doesn't have to report the things it does. It doesn't have to report statistics for how many people they beat up or how many biz workers they fired for malfeasance or, you know, bad behavior. They simply don't have to tell us at that. And so that results in this complete lack of transparency. And we just have to assume, because they're hiding this information, they could voluntarily tell us what they're doing, but they refuse to. So we just have to assume the worst, that they abuse people on a daily basis, that you know, their foundational purpose is to make the lives of homeless people so miserable that they just give up and decide to stop being homeless, I guess, is the idea.
Right.
That if you make people cold and make people hurt and make people, you know, steal them away from where they're sleeping in the middle of the night and then let them go the next day after, you know, spending the night in a drunk tank, that they'll be like, oh, maybe this isn't so great. I guess I should just become, you know, an upstanding citizen and a productive member of society. But
and that's
what
the Change for the Better program is all about.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about.
Shoveling snow and becoming an upstanding citizen.
Yeah.
And it's important to point out the role that the biz has in planning this event and the role that the biz has in the abuse of street-involved people. And we need to look really carefully and critically at charity in general, of course, as a solution to something like homelessness, but also charity that is being delivered by people who are, I mean, for lack of a more diplomatic word, enemies of street-involved people, the biz who routinely violate the human rights of people who live on the street, and CEOs who profit from poverty.
Yeah, and let's not neglect to mention the racial angle, that the biz and the police are both racist organizations at their core. If you're a white person in the exchange sitting on a park bench with a, you know, bottle of water in your hand, the biz are just going to pass you by. If you're a First Nations person and you're sitting on that same bench, they're probably going to stop and talk to you and say, hey, what do you have in that bottle there? Mm-hmm. Are you doing all right, sir? Do you need some help? Have you been drinking today? Can I take you to a shelter? Whether or not that person is actually homeless, they just assume that they are. And, you know, 80%, some odd percent of people in Remand Center are First Nations, even though they make up about 15% of the population of Winnipeg and Manitoba. So, you know, what does that say to you?
Mm-hmm.
It's not an accident.
The election was yesterday, and did you hear anything about homelessness in the election? Was that an election issue on the radar? Because I thinking about it, I don't think it was.
No, not that I'm aware.
No.
Although I didn't follow the election all that closely.
No.
I do know that I do want to point about out some well, Jackie, go ahead, point out some legislation that the NDP has come out with in the past couple of years that specifically harm poor people.
Sure, yeah. There's, I mean, there's a lot of sort of triumphant sort of discourse happening today because the NDP won the election. And so I guess people like to think of the NDP as the lesser of evils, and that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But the NDP has come out with some really, really problematic legislation targeting people who are poor and specifically people who are wrapped up in the criminal justice system, which would sort of overlap with our category of people who are street involved. Because mm-hmm. as Rob pointed out, you've got, you know, the crime of public intoxication, which is only a crime for a certain class of people. You've also got other types of crimes, subsistence sort of crimes like solicitation or property offenses, addictions offenses, etc. So the NDP has come out with what I think is probably their most offensive piece of legislation, is revoking victims' services compensation for people who've been convicted of certain offenses. So I haven't read the legislation. I've only read news articles pertaining to it, so I'm not sure what the main categories of offenses are, but it's supposedly serious offenses or repeated non-serious offenses. You can have your access to victims' monetary compensation revoked if you're a victim of a crime. So the idea is, you know, we'll stop people from committing crimes by denying them this human right that's available to other people who are victims of crime.
Yeah, and just to be clear, the most likely victims of crime are poor people. The most likely perpetrators of crime are poor people. And there's a huge overlap in those people who are victims and those who are perpetrators of crime. The people who are most likely to be victimized are not white people in the suburbs. As much as they like to think, and as much as, you know, the NDP, the PCs, and the Liberals all try to make it seem like that's the case. It's not. And by taking away victims' compensation from people who are already poor and they are, as a matter of fact, victims of a crime, why are they less worthy of compensation than someone else just because they're lucky enough? And you know what? Crime is not actually more frequent among poor people. That's the thing. They're more criminalized, but they're not doing more crimes.
They're just more visible, I guess.
More visible. Well. People use illegal drugs just as frequently in every single social stratus. Whether you're rich or poor, you use drugs the exact same amount. Statistics have bore this out again and again and again. But if you're rich and you're living in a tuxedo, you can snort your coke, you know, in your parents' basement, and no one's the wiser. But if you're, you know, smoking crack on the street, then a police can come by and throw you in jail. I don't know. I'm just ranting now.
So you're saying that
I don't even know what I'm saying.
It's more likely that they'll get charged with the same crime, I think is the point you're making there.
And then we do have all the white collar crimes, like dumping toxic sludge into waterways and stealing taxpayer money from the public, which are far more harmful to society than stealing a donut from 7-Eleven. And yet those people get off scot-free or have to, you know, pay a fine of a certain number of $100,000, which is really chump change to them. And
There was an editorial in the Winnipeg Sun regarding the actions you took.
I was actually unaware of that.
Oh, okay. Well,
unaware that we took actions, but let's
get into the specific for that CEO homeless event. What did you guys do that evening that the event took place?
Well, we had sort of a loose coalition of people who, in the days leading up to the event, were rather trolly on the event's Facebook page, and quite a bit of interesting discourse happening there, just trying to push back against this idea of, you know, charity being uniformly good no matter what. And we had a lot of interesting discussions, and then we thought, hey, you know, a lot of people are really upset and offended about this. Let's do something at this event. Like, we're not sure what that's going to look like, but, you know, obviously they shouldn't, get away with perpetuating this idea that, you know, that they're doing good by street involved people. So, a small group of us, attended, the event. We had a videographer and a couple pamphlet distributors and a couple of people doing a little bit of, I guess you could say, street theater, dressed as the downtown biz, just to help these CEOs, with the experience of homelessness, right? Because everyone knows the experience of homelessness isn't complete without the biz, you know, coming up to you and getting in your face and saying, you can't be here. I mean, these CEOs were doing their panhandling outside of a bank, which is actually illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to remind them of that. So we had a couple of acquaintances who were dressed very fabulously, I thought, as members of the downtown biz, and we attended their event, and they were doing a speaking presentation where they were talking about all the good that they were doing and really, you know, patting themselves on the back, and we briefly interrupted that to provide a little bit of insight into some of the concerns that we've talked about on the show here today. So we had some literature to hand out, and we briefly disrupted the speeches as well. And then at that point, the police were called, so so we had to leave. So as you can see, the CEOs were maybe enjoyed a slightly greater degree of protection from interference.
Yeah, that'd be really nice if when you're, you know, a houseless person and the biz are harassing you, you can call the police on them. That'd be really nice, but it doesn't work that way.
They had quite a bit of... their entire little area that they were using, they deemed a private event, actually. Like, our videographer was not permitted within that area, and several homeless people as well while our videographer was sitting on the outside of the event, he got into a conversation with a few street-involved people who were also not permitted to attend. So the individual that we saw kicked out of the public lunch wasn't the only, like, homeless people were not allowed into the area where mm-hmm. these speeches were taking place or where this sleeping was taking place. And we weren't allowed either. We were removed as well. So I guess it shows a certain degree of privilege that you can sleep outside in your Mountain Equipment Co-op $600 sleeping bag with, you know, a tower of pizza, and when protesters come, you can just call the police on them. I think maybe that's not representative of the experience of the average street-involved person.
Yeah, at one point, and we have this on video, they had a biz worker, like, with arms folded, standing in front of a stack of pizzas, guarding it from
whoever.
Anyone
I think
coming
we can
by.
Say that box of pizza enjoyed greater protection by the law than the average street-involved person.
Yeah.
So I alluded to an op-ed that was in the Winnipeg Sun yesterday, and you may be surprised that it was very positive towards your guys' action.
Mm. Really?
It was written by Floyd Paris, who I'm not entirely sure what he does.
Is he with Siloam Mission?
He is the executive director of Siloam Mission.
Oh, my.
And he said, he was one of the CEOs, I guess, sleeping out there. And he said that you made some really good points, and, you know, you said your piece on the microphone, you left. He didn't say, I don't think it says much about the police being called.
I don't think they're aware of that. The police actually, you know, came up to them a few blocks away from the actual event, so that, I guess that was, they wouldn't want it. The media, which was present, videotaping that and showing that on the news.
No, but they said, you raised good points, and that, and then later someone from your group came back and talked with them, and that they says he finishes it by saying, "I'm glad they challenged us. I'm glad we listened. We need people like him," or whoever they were referring to specifically. I don't know if it was you or someone mm-hmm. else in your group who came back and listened. So I mean, they seemed like they were really glad that you guys did that, or at least that one particular quote CEO.
I don't think this is a difficult thing to get.
Yeah.
Like, based on what we've seen on Facebook or on comments on the Free Press website, people in general understand that a bunch of CEOs putting on poor face, akin to blackface, mm-hmm. Is problematic, and that the biz are behind it is problematic, because mm-hmm. people do generally understand that the biz aren't there, you know, giving out free food to people. They're harassing them. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. It's not a complicated message. I think some people are really defensive of it and think that any charity is good charity, and just because the CEOs have their hearts in the right place that makes it all okay. Mm-hmm. But I don't think most people are like that. I think most people understand why this whole thing is a problem, mm-hmm. and why this general mindset saying that it's, you know, the private donation that should be the way to solve homelessness. I think most people don't buy into that lie.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on the program today, Rob and Jackie, and good luck in the future.